This is our 12th message in the series entitled The Journey of Faith. And we've gone and we've seen these great Bible characters like Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. And then, of course, obviously, we looked at Moses. We looked at the faith that it took Moses here. We looked at the faith to walk around Jericho. That was our last message, amen. And how they just believed God, amen. And how God can do miraculous things by faith. And listen, folks, again, we've said this over and over. I pray that it not be redundant. Some of you weren't here. Listen, it's not our great faith that does great things. It's our great God. It's our great God. God can take a mustard seed of faith and move a mountain. Why? Because we're so spiritual. We've got all our lives in order. I pray not. It's because of His great power and what He can do. Amen. Faith is only as good as the object to which it's appropriated to. And our object is the God of heaven. Jehovah is His name. Amen. And so we're talking about faith. Look at verse 31 with me, and then we're going to go look at some Old Testament passages around this. But verse 31, it says, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace." This is one of three times that we find Rahab's name in the New Testament. The other two we'll talk about during this message are found in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, and James chapter 2, verse 25. Let's, if we could, talk a little bit. Let me give you some points tonight. Number one, let's look at the sins before faith. Verse 31 of our text tells us a little bit about Rahab. It says, by faith, what's the next word, church? Harlot. The harlot Rahab. Rahab is referred to as a harlot five times in the Word of God. And the liberals and the modernists and the Bible correctors have attempted to say that Rahab was simply an innkeeper. And she certainly was an innkeeper, but not only. You see, she's called the harlot. Most of us will recognize the feminine term of that Greek word. It's the word porne. Comes from the masculine word pornos, from which we get our word pornography. It means to be illicit, to be a prostitute, to be a fornicator or a whoremonger. She was certainly an innkeeper, but I believe what that was to our adult crowd tonight is she ran a brothel. She was a harlot. One may ask, and think about this, please. What would cause one to become a harlot? How is it there are people on the streets down on Friday and Saturday nights on North Francis and in Detroit and in Flint and every other city that give themselves to this sin? Well, first of all, some are far gone and they're not coming back. They've committed themselves to sin. Romans chapter 1, verse 28 says, "Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do things which are not convenient." There are some that are in that quote-unquote profession that are just far gone. Far gone. Proverbs 5:5 says, "Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell." Proverbs 7:27, "Her house is the way to hell, going down into the chambers of death." Proverbs 9:18, "But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and her guests are in the depths of hell." Some are far gone. Some, according to the Bible, forsake guidance. Proverbs chapter 2, Verse 16, as Solomon is giving wisdom to his son, he says this, why is he giving wisdom? To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger with flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth. You see, not only are some far gone, but some forsake guidance. I have a dear friend of mine. He's preached for us twice. He preached at our Hog Roast 2 years ago, and he preached for our summer Bible conference last year. His name is Lawrence Mendez. Brother Mendez pastors on Seacott Street in Detroit. It's right off of Michigan Avenue. And it is in the hood. If I wasn't saved, sanctified with the Holy Ghost, and armed with a concealed weapon, I don't know if I'd go down there. Amen. I'm telling you, it is a rough place. Rough. He says all the time, he sees 15 and 16 and 17 and 18-year-old girls. And there they are, out at night. And they'll go and their ladies will go soul winning, their fellows will go soul winning and try to win these people to Christ. And they'll say, where are you from? And they'll say, Greenville, South Carolina. Where are you from? Bloomfield, Michigan. The second richest county in all the United States behind Beverly Hills. Where are you from? You know what? He has said to me, most of these girls are from good homes. Why would they end up there, Pastor? They forsook guidance. They forsook the guide of their youth. You know, the prodigal son, obviously not in the same profession, but in the same condition, ended up in the hog pen. Why did he end up there? He just forgot how good he had it. He forgot what his daddy told him about sin. Amen? Why would someone get into this awful position of being a harlot? Some are far gone. Some forsake guidance. The last part of Proverbs 2:17 says this, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Some are far gone. Some forsake guidance. Many just forget God. They forget that that is a sin against a holy God. Amen? There's another reason. Some not only are far gone, some forsake guidance, some forget God, some find gratification. You know, the Bible still says sin is pleasurable for a season. For a season. 1 Timothy 5:6 says, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Proverbs 2:18, her house inclineth to death. Listen, there is pleasure and profit in whoredom. It's amazing to me that we're talking about things like this, that just this week, the President of the United States endorsed a lifestyle that is completely anti-Bible. And I've been talking to a friend of mine, I should say talking, typing, and he says, what's the big deal? And I'll tell you what the big deal is. When you can redefine marriage, it's a Pandora's box that can never be closed. You see, Mr. Perry, who are you to redefine marriage just between two people? Why can't three people get married? If we're going to get rid of all moral laws, then I guess we'll just have prostitution everywhere. See, that's the rationale behind that stuff. And it's wicked. It's flat out wicked. It's anti-Bible, and listen to me, it's anti-American. Anti. But all they... Oh, it's not a big deal. It's just rights. Listen, you may have the right to free speech, but nobody has the right to cry fire in a crowded theater. Wicked. Tell you, they find gratification. Herbert Lockyer, one of the just Bible commentators I love to read after, said this. He said, frequently women like Rahab are more often sinned against than sinners. You see, Because a woman cannot be in that lifestyle without suffering at the hands of men. It will happen. It will happen. It will happen. Some find gratification. Some forget God. Some forsake guidance. Some are far gone. Can I say this? Most just are formed with guilt. They're just riddled with guilt. They want to get out, but Satan's convinced them that they can't. You know, the Bible still says in John 8:34, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And sin has a binding quality about it. Sin always costs you more than you want to pay. Sin always takes you further than you want to go. And sin will always keep you longer than you wanted to stay. By the way, it wasn't until the prodigal son came to himself that he came back home. And there's a lot of little girls off in the far country that just need to scripturally and spiritually just come to their senses. Say, what am I doing? Such as Rahab here. We see the sins before faith. The sins before faith. She was called a harlot. But then, if you hold your space there in Hebrews 11, go back to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua 2. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Joshua chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. We see not only her sins before faith, but then we see the start of faith. The start of faith. Look at verse number 9. And here we have the stories. The spies have come into Jericho to spy it out. God sent them in. And we know God's going to conquer Jericho. And we found that out in our last lesson. But where does Rahab's faith start? It says, and she said unto the men, verse 9, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us. Joshua chapter 2, verse 9, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Verse 10, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water, the Red Sea, for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. You say, where did her faith start? I'll tell you where it started. It started with the Word of God. It started with the Word. Now again, it seems obvious through Rahab's dishonorable profession of harlotry that she had entertained some that had told her of what had happened to the kings, what the Lord had done. May I remind you, folks, we're talking about faith here. We've been talking about faith these 12 weeks. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you want to increase your faith, I know it's so cliche, folks. Listen, read this book. Read this book. Read this book. It will increase your faith. So where did her faith start? It started with the Word of God. You say, boy, that's an odd way for the Word of God to come. You know, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:9, the Word of God is not bound. You know, there are some people out there, and I'll tell you what they are. They're quacks. Brother Sammons and I were talking about this. There are some people that believe if you do not get saved with a King James Bible, that you're not really saved. Boy, all those poor people before 1611, I guess they all died and went to hell. No, of course not. But you know, you cannot have your Bible and still lead somebody to Jesus Christ. You could still lead somebody to a saving knowledge of Christ. What does a witness do? They just tell what God did for them. They tell their story. They tell their testimony. Let me tell you what God did. And you could tell somebody they're a sinner. And you could tell somebody there's a wage of sin. And you could tell somebody Jesus loved them and died for them and rose again. And you can ask them if they'd like to trust Christ. And they can be saved just like that without a King James Bible. Now listen, I'm for the King James Bible. You all know that. I'm for that. This was an odd way that Rahab got the news, but she got it through the Word of God. Secondly, not only the Word of God was the start of her faith, but belief in God. Belief in God. Look what verse 9 says. And she said unto the men, I know. I know that the Lord hath given you the land. I know it. See, she believed in God. According to verses 10 and 11, she believed in God's power. She believed in God's power. We've heard how the Lord dried up the Red Sea and drowned the Egyptians and took care of Sihon and Og. Your God's powerful. And you know how we know He's powerful? He melted our hearts. She believed in God's power. You know what else she believed in? Praise God for this. Look at verse 21. She believed in God's mercy. Oh, the power of God's one thing, but it's the mercy of God we need, folks. Verse 21, and she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. You say, what was that all about? See, the spies had told her, God is going to destroy Jericho. But because you've been kind to us, because you took us in, because you hid us, God's going to spare you. And the sign of that was a scarlet thread that hung out her window. And by the way, that beautiful scarlet thread of God's mercy, you can read it from Genesis to Revelation. It's called the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanseth every sin. Amen. The scarlet thread. The start of her faith. It was in the Word of God. It was in the belief of God. You know what else it was in? If you look at verse number 11, it says, and as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. The Word of God, belief of God. You know what else it was? The fear of God. The fear of God. Ladies and gentlemen, again, God's not that gray-haired cosmic old man up in the sky. Somebody say amen. And He's not your buddy either. He is almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing God. And He is to be feared. Why is He to be feared? He spoke everything that we see, feel, breathe, sniff, into existence. He spoke it all into existence. God is to be feared. She feared God. By the way, that's the work of conviction before conversion. You see, I'm an old-fashioned preacher. I don't believe you have to repent of every sin. I believe you got to repent of unbelief. That's the only sin that'll send you to hell. But I will tell you this, no conviction, no conversion. You have to know you want to be saved. You have to know you need to be saved. You have to make a conscious decision to turn away and turn to Jesus. The fear of God will do that. Amen. When I got saved, I wish I could tell you it was for every noble reason. Brother Phelps, I'll tell you what it was. I knew I was going to hell and I was afraid. That was it. Nothing deeper than that. The fear of God. Belief in God. The Word of God. It was the start of faith. Number three, the service of faith. The service of faith. Hebrews 11:31 tells us about her service. It said, she perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. A cross-reference in James 2:25 puts it this way. Rahab the harlot, when she received the messengers and sent them out another way. What was her service? Well, first of all, according to this, she received the spies. Listen, folks, we're going to find out as you read Joshua chapter 2 there, that was a serious offense. The king of Jericho could have had her and her whole family slaughtered. She received the spies. Then not only did she receive the spies, if you look at Joshua chapter 2, verse 4, she hid them. It says, and the woman took the two men and hid them. James 2:25 says she sent them out. Amen. So she received them, she hid them, she sent them out. You know what else she did? She obeyed their word. Why? Look at verses 18 through 21. Here's what the spies said. Behold, When we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line, a scarlet thread, in the window, which thou didst let down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head. And if any hand be upon him, and if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made unto us, swear. Now, if you go over, just hold your spot there, go over to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua 6. How do you know she obeyed the spies, Pastor? Well, verse 20, you know the story. They walked around 6 days once. On the seventh day, walked around 7 times, blew the trumpet, walls fell flat. So the people shouted, verse 20 of chapter 6, so the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And if you look at verse 23, it says, and the young man that were with the spies went in and brought out Rahab and obeyed her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. Pastor, how do you know she obeyed what she heard? Because she lived. Otherwise, she'd have been dead. Listen, true faith will lead us to obedience. Not popular. Not being preached in a lot of hour-a-week churches. Listen, true faith will lead us to obedience, which will lead us to a life of service for the Lord. The service of faith. The start of faith. The sins before the faith. Go back to Joshua chapter 2. I want you to notice something. It's in the text. A lot of preachers gloss over it. But we see the stumble in the faith. What's it mean to stumble? It means a trip. Have you ever stumbled? Sure. Look at verses 3 and 4. It says, and the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. What is that, folks? It's a lie. She told a lie. Correct? She told a lie. Now listen to me, folks. A lie is a lie. Thou shalt not commit false witness. Okay? Did God commend her for lying? No. Is God a God of situational ethics? You say, what is situational ethics, Pastor? Well, this is what they teach in philosophy classes on modern campuses, that the situation determines what's right and wrong. And it may be right at this time, but it's not quite so right at this time. It may be wrong here. No. God's a God of black and white. Right is right and wrong is wrong. A lie is a lie. Amen? So what can we learn from this? What can we see from this? Well, first of all, let me just say this about God. God is not reduced to unholy acts to fulfill His will. Amen? Untruth cannot be vindicated because it's closely tied to an end result. Let me just give you a hypothetical on situational ethics. Let's say, we want to get our parking lot done. Amen? We need to. Good night. I'm parking in a hole every week, and I park in it so none of you will park in it. Amen. And turn the neck. We need to get a parking lot done. So, Brother Kelly, what we can do is we can get somebody that's very nondescript in our church. You know, somebody that wouldn't arouse any suspicion. Let's say Brother Meyer. He's back there. He's got that whole section to himself. Brother Mark Meyer is going to go down to the Flagstar Bank and rob the bank. Because you know what? Listen, Brother Mark will get $1 million and he'll tithe $100,000 and we'll get our parking lot done. You know that's the end of situational ethics. Well, hey, wouldn't it be great to get our parking lot done? How about this even better? Let's print $100,000 worth of gospel tracts and Bibles and send them all over the world. Wrong is wrong, folks. Wrong is wrong. And she told a lie. Let me say that again about how God is not reduced to unholy acts to accomplish His will. There's another time in Genesis chapter 47 when Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, and I love that story in Genesis 45. I cry so often when I read that because he just couldn't control himself and he went into another room and he started weeping when he thought about his love for his brothers. But they came down and he said to them, hey, come here. When you meet the Pharaoh, just tell him you're cattle herders because they can't stand cows around here and you get your own. And you know what they said? He said, what do you do? He said, thy servants are shepherds. We take care of sheep. You know what they did? Joseph told them to tell a lie. Do you know what they did? They told the truth. And God blessed them. God gave them their land. Amen. So what are you trying to say about all this, Pastor, about Rahab here? Folks, could we remember that this was a woman who was steeped in sin. And she had just gotten converted. Can I ask you this? Listen, it's not a justification for sin. It's just rather an exhortation that he that is without the sin, let him cast the first stone. I don't suppose any of us have never deliberately disobeyed God since we've been saved. Okay, it's a heavenly crowd tonight. Just me and Rahab, amen? Of course we have! You know what? Can I say this? It's easy to point a finger, but it's always right to offer a hand when somebody stumbles. She stumbled. Wasn't perfect. God wasn't commending it. Her sins before the faith. Her start of the faith. The service of faith. The stumble in the faith. Hey, how about the settlement of faith? The settlement. How was Rahab's faith rewarded? Back to Joshua chapter 6. This is awesome. I love this. Joshua chapter 6. Look at verse 25. Joshua 6, 25. Boy, it'd help if I had to get on the right page. It says, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. First way her faith was rewarded, and this is so good, she was delivered from destruction. That entire city was wiped out, with the exception of her and her family. Hey, do you know what happened to you and I when we placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ? I'm going to get happy here. We got delivered from destruction. We got delivered from destruction. We were on our way to hell, and God delivered us. I'm telling you what. Not only was she delivered from destruction, another great one. Verse 25, again, look at the end of it there. It says, the second half of the verse, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day. Not only was she delivered from destruction, but she found a place amongst the people. She found a place amongst the people of God. How about that? Brother Becker, when I think of my life and what I am and what I was and everything I did, I wonder 17,000 times a day, if I could exaggerate, why God would ever make me His child. But not only does He deliver us from destruction, He gives us a place among the people. So good. How about this? Not only a place amongst the people, not only delivered from destruction. Go to the New Testament. Go to the New Testament. Matthew chapter 1. Oh, I'm telling you, I love this. I gave this one away this morning, but I'm going to preach it again. Amen. Matthew chapter 1. And I hope you'll not think me irreverent tonight when I say Matthew chapter 1, the first 16 verses are what many people refer to as the part of the Bible. Say, what is that? It's called a genealogy. This one begat this one, begat this one. My favorite one is in Genesis chapter 36 when you have all the dukes. The Duke of Edom and the Duke of Earl and the Duke of, you know, you got Duke, this. But here we have the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Perez and Zerah of Tamar. And Perez begat Ezram, and Ezram begat Aram, and Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Naasson, and Naasson begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz of who? Rahab. See, she not only was delivered from destruction, she not only found a place amongst the people, but she married a man named Salmon. And she gave birth to a young man named Boaz, who we said this morning, if you've read the book of Ruth, Boaz made it his business to be a protector of helpless women. He allowed him to glean the fields. And then when he saw Ruth and her beauty, he says, you let her have a bunch more. By the way, where did he learn that? He learned that on Rahab's knee. She not only was she delivered from destruction, not only did she find a place among the people, you know what else she was, Mr. Perry? She was a giant of God's grace. She's a giant of God's grace. See, there are some Pharisees that will say, oh, she could never be saved. She was a harlot. You know what I have to say to the person like that? How's that? Is that good? I said, you know what I have to say? Read your Bible. Everyone in the line of Christ, with the exception of Christ Himself, was a wicked sinner, deserving of hell. And Rahab had a scarlet past, but thank God she grabbed onto that scarlet line. Praise God. She was a giant of grace. And then lastly, there in the fifth point here, settlement of faith. Back to Hebrews 11:31, it says there, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies. You know what else? She was found amongst the faithful. You know, not everybody gets their name in Hebrews chapter 11 in the Hall of Faith. Last year we took a trip to the Football Hall of Fame, and we're talking about next year maybe taking a 3-day trip to the Baseball Hall of Fame. A bunch of us men last year went to the Football Hall of Fame, and I'm told that over 10,000 men have played professional football, and just a little over 300 are inducted into the Football Hall of Fame. Well, I don't know all the people in the Bible, but I know there's not very many in Hebrews chapter 11. And Rahab is one of only two women mentioned. Sarah and Rahab. See, she was found amongst the faithful. Last point, not only the sins before faith, the start of faith, service of faith, stumble of faith, settlement of faith, the snapshot of faith. You see, Rahab is a great picture of the faith of a sinner who trusts Christ. And I'll just fly through these. She believed the awful news of coming wrath, didn't she? See, folks, there's still a hell. There's still a hell. And it's not getting any smaller. And it's still eternal. She believed that God was going to destroy Jericho. Secondly, she knew that God's purposes are certain and sure. What God says will come to pass, you can bank on it, will come to pass. Number three, She realized that God was a great God, able to destroy and able to save. That's our God. Amen. He's able. He said, "Fear not him which is able to destroy the body, but fear rather him that can destroy body and soul in hell." She feared with great terror because of her sinfulness and coming judgment. She desired greatly that she might be saved. She cried for mercy. And I love this. And she included her family in that cry. Well, I'll tell you, you really get a dose of real Bible salvation. You don't want any of your loved ones to die and go to hell. Amen. Now listen, I know that they're not always easy to win and you work at it and you get discouraged and all that, but you want them to be saved. Sign of true faith. She cried for mercy and she included her family. How about this? She took the means appointed by putting the scarlet line in the window. Say, what's the means appointed, Pastor? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. What was the means appointed in Noah's day? Just get in the ark. What was the means appointed in Numbers when they were snake bitten? Just look and live. See, God's means is always there. We just have to appropriate it to be saved. You know what else she did? She trusted in the oath given her, and her friends took shelter under the true token. They took shelter underneath the mercy of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The faith of Rahab. It's great faith. It reminds us of our faith. The sins before faith. Hey, I don't care if you got saved at 4, 24, 44, 64. You were deserving of hell. You had sinned. Amen? You had sinned. The start of her faith in the Word of God and in the fear of God and believing God. The service of faith. Having true faith caused her to serve. The stumble in faith. I'm not advocating sin. But the greatest sin is to not get up when you fall. Get up. Dust off. Say, God, I failed you again. Please forgive me. Help me. Give me strength the next time the temptation comes. We all stumble. The settlement of faith. Her faith was rewarded. I promise you this, folks. Your faith will be rewarded in this life and in the life to come. Oh, I see that globe right there. Listen, Brother Curry's here tonight. I really believe two of the easiest rewards that we ever get are our giving and our service. Mrs. Holy, you know how to drive that church bus. Brother Ken, you drive the church bus. Amen. I can drive the church bus. We got other people. Easiest rewards, Brother Leonard, I ever get is doing this. Going out, picking up kids. We had 4 children saved today downstairs. 4. I'll say this to puff him up. He has a part in that. He brought him in. Amen. You give to the Lord's work, you have a part in that. And I promise you, God is keeping perfect records. And there is a settlement day one day for our faith. And then lastly, the snapshot of faith. Rahab's a perfect snapshot of a sinner trusting Christ. The faith of Rahab tonight. Father,